We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome on the panel this week our four regular, witty, impossible, irrepressible players of the game. And they're going to try and talk, as usual, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject that Ian Mester's chosen is the best game. Would you tell us something about that in the contest, starting now?
The very best game is when two people go into a room, each with a bottle of whiskey, and they drink all that is therein, and then one of them goes out, knocks on the door, and the other has to guess who it is. But quite a good game, which just could go for the best game, is to approach the chairman of Just a Minute with a stink bomb. And you step on it, and the smell is so absolutely foul that the entire program has to be put back by a quarter of an hour, causing enormous distress and inconvenience to the competitors who had appointments for dinner and were, in fact, moving to Cambridgeshire in order that elderly ladies with nothing better to do than wait for their member...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Deviation is not talking about the best game now. He's complaining about being late for his dinner appointment.
I think he had got well away from the best game. So, Derek, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of the best game starting now.
Almost the best game in my experience is...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he's talking about almost the best game. That's not
well,
any
I think
good.
It doesn't matter, Peter. You could say almost the best game, or the very best game, or not the best
game. I thought we wanted to talk about the best game. Isn't that the subject? The best game.
He's not...
Well, almost the best game isn't the best game. It's almost the best game.
Quite right.
I think that's one of those impossible decisions that I have to make on occasion. So what I will do, I'm going to let you judge. Now, if you agree with Peter's challenge, then you all cheer for him. And if you disagree, then you all boo against him. But you all do it together now. I think the cheers have it, Peter. So you have the subject, and you have 12 seconds on the best game starting now.
Well, I think patience played with cards is probably the best game because it means that there's no...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. You say you can't have almost, now you're saying probably,
probably
the best.
Probably the best game. You can't have the best. So, by the same token, you have 7 seconds to take over the subject of the best game starting now.
The best game should be allowed to hang for as long as possible before you actually consume it. Otherwise, the flavour...
So, when Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Kenneth Williams, and I'm sure you will be delighted to hear, at the end of that round, he has a commanding lead over all the others. In fact, he has 100% more marks than they have. He has two, and two of them have one, and... Kenneth, will you begin the next round? The subject is People I Shall Never Forget. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
The people I shall never forget are those who've influenced me or done some curious, singular thing, which means that the memory of them will forever reverberate in my memory. And I recall a meeting with Alfred Hitchcock when he said to me, "Do you know about the country lad saying to the girl, 'Tell us your name'?" And she replied, "Nay, but I'll give you a clue. What spreads round?" And he said, "Manure." She said, "No, ivy." And it rang out, and I thought, what a delightful anecdote. Not the sort of thing I'd have expected to be related in this quite swanky, I might say opulent, establishment in which we were dining. But I thought that showed a delightfully warm and human...
So, So, at last, we've had a round in which the speaker began and finished without being interrupted. And it was, once again, Kenneth Williams. So, Kenneth, you get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a point for not being interrupted. And you have increased your lead by 200% at the end of that round. You now have 4 points, and the others still have one. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject is cheek. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
This is something which we all have four of. Two in the lower extremity and the same number in the higher. Now, if you turn the other cheek in a biblical sense, it means that instead of asking for an eye for a year or a tooth...
Clement Foyle's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. You were struggling so well there, Derek, to get out of it, but eye for a year... I think. Fantastic. 42 seconds, as Clement has the subject of cheek now, starting
very
now.
Good. Cheek is when someone of diminished responsibility goes to the British Broadcasting Corporation and elects to be chairman of a panel game on the basis that he might have some idea of how to control people whose multisyllabic words he doesn't understand, whose meaning he is unable to comprehend, and whose hours and time he is unable to keep. I've now said unable three times, and because nobody's interrupted me, only...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, I'm not interrupting because I'm enjoying it.
Another reason that you weren't interrupted is no one could hear it because Kenneth was making the audience laugh so much. So, Peter, what was your challenge?
Deviation.
What of?
He mentioned something three times.
Repetition of unable. Right, Peter, what? You take over the subject of cheek, and there are 15 seconds left, starting now.
It'll get you a long way. I had an uncle who took me to the pictures once during the war at the Empire Leicester Square, which had a notice above the box office which said, forces half price. He put down half the money, and he said, Secret Service, and they let him in.
But Clement Freud challenged before the payoff. So, Clement, what was it?
A repetition of half.
Yes, I'm sorry, Peter. Good story. 4 seconds before the end, you were interrupted. Cheek is back with Clement. And what cheek as well, starting now?
Sideburns are things that grow all the way down.
Well, they all got points in that round, but Kenneth Williams is still in the lead, one ahead of the second, which is Clement Freud. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Peter, the subject is stink bombs. Which got a nice reaction from our audience. Maybe they've had some experience of them, I don't know. But obviously it set them alight, and they would like to hear you being set alight by the subject and going for 60 seconds, if you can, on stink bombs, starting now.
I think they're vicious and cowardly weapons, and they're quite indiscriminate, making those suffer perfectly innocent, not just the people to whom they are directed. I wouldn't ever... I would denounce anybody who used stink bombs as a means...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Hesitation.
I agree with your challenge, so you now very aptly take over the subject of stink bombs, and there are 42 seconds left, starting now.
I am ashamed to tell the great British public that I let off a stink bomb in this studio this evening. It has caused tremendous distress, and I'm very apologetic about it. Please, can I have your forgiveness, Nicholas Parsons? I promise I will never set off a stink bomb ever again. You see, I happen to go to a joke shop, which have all kinds of different tricks. And sometimes, if you do, you find that at the end of the day, stink bombs do produce a certain amount of merriment in life. And that's why I really quite like it. Do you see, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting here with a needle through my nose and a stink bomb in my pocket.
Clement Freud is challenged.
He said Tunbridge Wells.
I must explain that the hilarity in the audience was caused by the fact that Derek Nimmo apparently was saying something about going to one of these joke shops, and in the middle of his conversation, with a sitting there with an angelic look on his face and a safety pin through his nose, he suddenly brought out a thing and showered himself with sort of plastic snow, as far as I can see.
£2.50 in the joke shop. Very nice.
As Derek Nimmo's obviously feels that his life as a serious actor is drying up, he's now going over to tricks and the conjuring.
Yes. I think he's trying to get this game onto television. That's what it is.
Well, he's got the right idea in the way he's playing it at the moment. I don't think he repeated Tunbridge Wells, Clement. So I leave the subject with Derek.
I've been talking for about an hour and a half.
No, there are 3 seconds to go, you'll be pleased to hear, so you can get another point
what
starting
What did he
now.
Say if he didn't say Tunbridge
Someone
Wells?
Someone can challenge if they wish.
Because we certainly couldn't hear him. Could you?
No. I've said now.
Stink bombs are very smelly things and most unpleasant, and I do think that...
Well, Derek Nimmer made a clean breast of it in front of the great British public. Clement Freud begins the next round. Clement, making an effort. If we haven't had too much of that from Derek, let us hear from you on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Making an effort is something one says to denote that a person is trying to do his best, from which sentiment I would like to disassociate the chairman of Just a Minute, who has quite tantamountly done very much less than that. I have seldom encountered a shoddier exponent of any panel game, and I...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
I'd just like to endorse what Clement said.
Right. So, you're endorsing, so what's your challenge?
No, I'm not really. I just wanted to say that I wanted to second Mr. Freud's motion, that's all.
So what was your legitimate challenge?
One legitimate one.
All right, so Clement gets another point because that was an incorrect challenge, and he continues on making an effort with 37 seconds left, starting now.
One could actually make a fairly good effort at playing this game simply by going on talking without repeating yourself, showing a minimum of hesitation and barely deviating from whatever garbage is given to you by the man sitting on my left who interrupts virtually everything one says for no particular reason, even when one's colleagues keep their fingers way from the buzzers, as encouraging and sweet, super lovely, nice, normal, heterosexual, homosexual, ambisexual.
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of sexual.
Yes.
No, every single word was
there was coming. A repetition, but I'm afraid they're all,
they're all
single
separate
words. Homosexual, heterosexual. They're written as one word, Peter.
Really?
Mm.
Gosh. Well, they say it three times.
Yes. But they were different words. So, Clement, in spite of what you say, I just show how fair I am in this game. You have half a second to continue with a wrong challenge, making an effort, starting now.
You go blind.
So, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and others in the round, and he's now taken the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo and Kenneth Williams, equal in second place, and Kenneth begins the next round, which is Rudolf Diesel. Will you tell us something about him in the game, Kenneth, starting now?
Well, he was the gentleman who invented the engine, which, of course, bears his name, wherein the ignition is accomplished by the compression of air. That is what causes it to ignite, unlike the ordinary, or shall we say conventional, petrol engine. Now, he studied at the Munich Polytechnic and was taken up something of a protege of the Krupp family who financed the early experiments. Now, what is interesting is that he...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of interesting.
Yes, you did say interesting before. I'm sorry, Kenneth. So,
it's all such nitpicking.
So, Derek, will you tell us something about Rudolf Diesel in 18 seconds, starting now?
He had a sister who's known as Red-Nosed Diesel because she, funnily enough, had a glowing protuberance sticking out from her face. And when he visited the Krupp family in 1911, they said, can you please make for us some matches? And they said, well, I don't know, because you're really, your things are...
So Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject is signals, and you set a few of those off, metaphorically speaking, tonight. But will you talk on the subject with 60 seconds to go, starting now?
Her Majesty's Royal Corps of Signals are a splendid gathering of able...
Clement Freud.
Is. One corps is.
Yes. Clement, there are 54 seconds for you to take over the subject of signals, starting now.
I'm probably one of the very few people who still knows semaphore. And if you hear...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, I know it as well.
Ha 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 I can believe...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can Let's believe. Put it to the audience. How many of them know semaphores?
One very few.
Without putting it to the audience, I can believe there are not just a few people who still know semaphore. So I think that was a legitimate challenge, Derek. You have it back, and there are 47 seconds. So 48 signals starting now.
I am one of the very many people who know the Morse code, because I happen to spend a part of the time in the intelligence corps, where one discovered how messages were sent from one country to another by assorted soldiers from different regiments. And
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of corps.
No, he didn't say
oh,
corps.
At the beginning he talked about the Royal Corps
yes,
signals
but when
is, and then
corps.
He said the corps.
Derek, I'm sorry, I disagree with the challenge. You have 31 seconds to continue on signals starting.
The London, Midland and Scottish Railway was my absolutely favourite train organisation, and the signals at Crewe Junction were a delight to the eye. They go from red to green as they went up and down, and as you came towards them on the Coronation Express, you felt your heart sing, because you knew that...
Clement Freud is challenged.
You can only hear your heart sing. You can't feel your heart sing.
Well, you can.
I don't think you would actually hear your heart sing either way, because it cannot be vocal.
You can't feel your heart sing.
No, you could feel it, but you couldn't hear it, because it wouldn't
and
make a
And he did
noise.
Say corps twice. He said intelligence corps.
I'm sorry.
I think you'd have to be pretty gone to feel your heart sing approaching Crewe Junction. I
Clement.
Think you'd have to be on speed or something for that to happen.
You Look, have a subject
I
of
think
signals.
Yes, I think I did say corps twice.
He said intelligence corps. What he did, which was very subtle, he didn't challenge you at the time. He waited, which is very generous of him.
I only said it once the first time, hadn't
yeah.
I?
So there we are. So, Clement, we give it to you this time with 12 seconds to go. Signals starting now.
You go to the top of a mountain and you shout... The battle is won, and from the cliffs of Dover, your messenger portrays this to His Majesty the King. And
Peter Jones.
The messenger wouldn't portray it.
Yes.
He might take the message.
But in old-fashioned English,
my messenger
they do
always
talk about
portrays.
Portraying a message.
Yes.
Oh, we're talking old-fashioned English in this game now, aren't we?
Oh, I don't
know. Old-fashioned.
Well,
I don't know where this mountain is. It's so near to the Straits of Dover.
Yes,
so when
I
you're
know.
Shouting from the top of it, a fellow can hear you. I mean, there aren't any mountains near the Straits of Dover. Mm. The whole thing's a load of rubbish.
Actually,
put it to the audience and see if there's a mountain near the Straits of Dover.
Mont-
with a portrait painted on the top of it.
Well, it might be a butter mountain or something like that.
I think...
That's quite
I have been generous to Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. I will now be generous to you and give you the benefit of the doubt on this situation and allow you to continue with half a second on the subject of signals, starting now. So, Peter. Peter Jones got the point, yes. So that brings him forward a little, doesn't it, at the end of that round? But he's still in third place with Kenneth Williams. And Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject is supermarket trolleys. I know they're one of your great loves, so will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they certainly aren't. I don't like them. I view them as lethal weapons. And when in the hands of battle-trained housewives, they can inflict an enormous amount of pain and discomfort. And when atop them is a child who's been trained to throw tins of beans and cans of fruit and corned beef and things at innocent passers-by or trying to do a bit of shopping, they're pretty alarming vehicles. And I would actually institute tests.
Derek Nimmo,
well, hesitation, really.
I think so, yes. Crumbly. Derek, you have 29 seconds on supermarket trolleys, starting now.
My wife takes me to a supermarket and always gives me a trolley with one wheel that only turns left. And for some reason I follow this beastly machine between the shelves and across the floor, and all the time I have absolutely no control over this fiendish piece of machinery. And I really loathe supermarket trolleys more than anything else apart from Nicholas Parsons in the whole wide world. And I also object to the way that people take supermarket trolleys away from the shops and deposit them by the roadside for people to fall over them.
So Derek Nimmo kept going magnificently with his supermarket trolley till the whistle went. Gained the extra point because you were actually speaking as the whistle went.
I know I was. I can hear it.
And your heart was singing as well, which you also heard probably, because you have gone into the lead ahead of Clement Freud, and Clement begins the next round. The subject, Clement, is Punch and Judy. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
I always find it very embarrassing when phoning people in search of situations like housemaid or cook that my voice is instantly recognizable as not belonging to a member of the fair sex. In fact, it's pretty masculine.
Kenneth Williams, Chuck.
I'd like to know what all this has got to do with Punch and Judy.
Is he actually...
We're only just beginning to get into it.
Well, you had been going for 18 seconds, think that you actually hadn't established the subject yet. So, Kenneth, the correct challenge, and there are, therefore, 43 seconds on Punch and Judy, starting now.
This is a puppet thing where a bloke manipulates the aforementioned objects behind a screen, showing them in a little aperture, which appears to people outside as a kind of miniature stage, and they are like the Muppets. They behave in this curious, contorted fashion, make curious movements.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Curious, twice.
You did say curious, I'm afraid, Kenneth. So, there are 22 seconds for you, Clement, to take over the subject again of Punch and Judy, starting now.
Both Punch and Judy have magazines named after them, and given a free choice, I would certainly prefer Punch to that of Judy, because Judy is for children of delicate ages and, in fact, is pretty nonsensical sort of stuff about Mrs. Willicott.
Derek Nimmo, John. Yes, because he couldn't find one of those ladies in Judy, so there are 4 seconds on Punch and Judy with you, Derek, starting now.
That's the way to do it!
Is what he said when he hits Jack Jack on the top of the head. And I think that's...
So, Derek's fine impersonation of... who is that one?
Nicholas Parsons.
Oh, Nicholas Parsons, of course, yes. That's right, of Nicholas Parsons kept him going till the whistle went and he has increased his lead again. And, Kenneth, would you take the next round? The subject, great paintings. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
In the National Gallery hangs a canvas by a man called Gacchino, and it is called The Incredulity of Thomas, which I must say I've always thought is a rather pompous way of saying it, because we've never said that particular word about the saint. I've always used doubting, and I think most people that grew up in my period always did use it in that fashion. But still, there you are, that's the title, and it is beautiful. The cake.
Derek Nimmo has judged. Yes, but I tell you what I'm going to do.
In the audience.
Tell us.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It is going to be the last round, and Kenneth has got his own subject of great paintings. It was extremely interesting. The audience were loving it.
Yes.
And I'm sure that, Kenneth, they would all like you to continue in spite of the challenge, because it was a marginal hesitation, and there are 23 seconds on great paintings starting now.
The depiction is wonderfully sensuous, and I throb with excitement as I look and realise that the name, the means squint-eyed in actual fact, but of course the full-length name... Oh, I said that twice.
Oh, Derek.
Yes,
yes, you were too generous.
Also, I wasn't awfully keen on all this throbbing in the National Gallery.
I throb almost anywhere, you know. Incidentally, so were you about the signals of crew.
Yeah.
Art was singing with it.
Really?
You said you could hear your art throbbing.
Yes.
Now you're taking me to task for the very same thing, isn't he?
Exactly, yes. Yes, we all throb a little on occasions, don't we? Yes. Hey, look at this audience, they're throbbing now, aren't they? Just at the sound of my voice, you throb, don't you? You are, you see. Some of them have even gone further than that. So let's... Derek, there are 6 seconds for you to take over the subject of great paintings, starting now.
Canaletto, I suppose, the great Venetian master, is of all the painters that I've ever seen, probably the one that gives me the most...
Where did you see Canaletto? He's dead.
Yes.
Thank you. try very hard sometimes, Clement. I have to tell you that at the whistle, Derek Nimmo was speaking, as you know, gained an extra point, creased his lead. We have no more time, alas, so I must give you the final score. And on this occasion, it was Peter Jones, in spite of the value that he gives to the programme, came in fourth place, a little way behind Kenneth Williams, a little way behind Clement Freud. And once again, this week, our winner was Derek Nimmo. We do hope you've enjoyed the programme this week and want to tune in again at the same time next week when our regulars will be their normal ebullient selves. And until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.